Turn your Bible, if you would, today to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And look with me, if you would, at verse 105. And the Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now, I wasn't sure, being an ex-Catholic, whether or not I was supposed to trust this verse, because right above it, you can see it was written by a nun. So, you know, he gave me a little bit of a stare there for a second. But anyway, the Bible is a lamp. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It's not something you hold behind you. Do you hold a flashlight behind you as you're walking in the dark? No, you need it out in front of you. That's why the Bible says holding forth the word of life, holding it out in front of us. You know, have you ever walked in someone's house? You ever been in someone's house spending the night or whatever, and you had to get up in the middle of the night to use the restroom, and you couldn't see where you were going, you didn't know the house, you didn't have a light, and you stubbed your toe and you banged your head, and all the other things that go along with walking in the dark? And that's what happens to us as Christians when we walk without the lamp unto our feet, without the light unto our path. Turn your Bible to Acts 27. I want to get all this in, so I will move quickly, because I definitely will be on time. Acts 27. I want to share with you today the enemies to the Word of God, the enemies to your light, the enemies to your lamp. Acts chapter 27, look at verse 9 with me. "Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." Point number one, one of the biggest enemies that we have to the Word of God is the master's opinion. And it doesn't say they didn't believe Paul. It just says that they believed the master more than Paul. And I wonder how many times we, Christian, believe the people out there that call themselves the experts, that call themselves Dr. So-and-so and Professor So-and-so, Dr. Humpty Nobrainsky and Professor, you know, what, Hackenbush, you know, whatever they call themselves. We end up putting more credence on what they have to say than what on this has to say. And it happens all the time. It's not that they don't believe the book, it's just that they believe so-and-so a little bit more. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Job, chapter 32, verse 21, it says, "Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person. Neither let me give flattering titles unto man, for I know not to give flattering titles. In so doing, my Maker would soon take me away." And even Paul the Apostle in Galatians 2:6 said, "But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me." You say, well, yeah, I agree with Paul. I stand just like Paul. But who would you give more credence to for family issues? Dr. James Dobson or the King James Bible? Who would you give more credence to for child-rearing issues? Dr. Spock or the King James Bible? Who would you give more credence to for music issues? Dr. Frank Garlock or the Word of God, the King James Bible? Who would you give more credence to for health issues? Dr. Fauci or the King James Bible? Who would you give more credence to for economic issues? The president or the King James Bible? And we end up giving credence to these folks just because of all the alphabet letters after their name. And folks, this is the lamp unto our feet. This is the light unto our path. Remember at the end of Asa's life, as good as a king as Asa was, it said that he listened to the doctors. He went unto the doctors rather than going unto God. He had a disease in his feet. That disease ended up killing him because he chose the doctors over God. And the Bible tells us, we have time for it. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And in verse 3, For the time will come. Do you believe that? The time will come. Do you also believe that that time is here? The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers. Notice the plural. Having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They don't want a preacher, singular. They want teachers, plural. They don't want to be preached to. They want to be able to select. They want a Christian smorgasbord. I'll take you for my health issues and you for my family issues, you for my financial issues, you for my child-rearing issues. And we want to stand back and pick and choose who we want to listen to rather than the one authority. The one authority. You know, it says there that they have itching ears. And you know, you're surrounded today by churches that do nothing but scratch the itch. Nothing feels better. Haven't you ever had an itch in the middle of your back? You couldn't reach it? I mean, you remember Baloo the bear, right? Oh, man, he said, that feels good, rubbing up against a tree. And, you know, it does feel good to have that itch scratched. So that's what preachers are doing today. It's been going around our country, this, you know, the 40 days of purpose, the purpose-driven movement, only preach the happy text, you know, stay away from anything negative, yet our Bible tells us reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Two-thirds of that is negative. And yet they tell you just preach the positive. Why? To keep people coming back so you can scratch their itch. Keep them feeling good and they'll keep coming back. You know, feeling good is a whole lot different than doing good. And we need to be told what we need to do good. Cotton candy Christianity is prevailing in our country. Cotton candy Christianity, it's real sweet to the mouth. It goes in your mouth, it's gone like that and provides no nutritional value whatsoever. And we need things that will raise us up. Speaking the truth in love, that ye may grow thereby. You don't grow with cotton candy except this way. Amen? We need something that's going to help us grow in the Lord. Rick Warren says this. Joel Osteen says this. Billy Graham says this. Pope Francis says this. Even I'll go so far. Dr. Ruckman says this. Dr. So-and-so says this. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what I say. The Bible says that the Bereans were more noble because they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Everything I say to you this week, you compare it with Scripture. If you can't back it up with your King James Bible, then I'm the one that's wrong. You don't take my word for anything over this book. You know, whatever happened to the promise keepers? Whatever happened to the purpose-driven church? Whatever happened to 40 days of purpose? Whatever happened to the prayer of Jabez? You know, where is all this stuff? It's a fad. It comes and it goes. What? Why? Because it's new. And that's just like the Athenians. They were constantly looking for something new. Well, I got news for you. I want the old paths. I don't want the new paths. I want the old paths. I want the narrow way. I don't want the broad way. And you better thank God you have a church like this. You know, oftentimes, because I know, because I used to be sitting out there. And we can take our church for granted, take our pastor for granted, take our book for granted, take prayer for granted. We can take any of it for granted when it becomes old hat. Don't allow it to become old hat. The inward man is renewed day by day. The old man needs to die daily. So every day there needs to be a resurrection and every day there needs to be a crucifixion. So that stuff stays new to you. This stuff right here. You know, that good old black book. Thank God for it. You know, I preached a message years ago. Is there a doctrine in the house? And, you know, it's important to have doctrine. You know why people don't like doctrine? Doctrine separates. Doctrine divides. Doctrine says this is good and this is wrong. versus the all-inclusive, just come as you are. We're all God's children. Let's just praise the Lord. You might call Him Him. You might call Him Allah. You might call Him Buddha. You might, whatever you want to call Him. It doesn't really matter. We're all His children. Baloney. We're not. We're born as children of the devil, John chapter 8. He's our Father, until which time we become born again. Yes, the master's opinion, based on capability. There's another opinion that also is an enemy to the Word of God. Look at verse 12 in our text, Acts 27, verse 12. And it says there, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. The second enemy to the Word of God is the majority's opinion. It says the more part. Oh, the majority must be right, because if the majority was wrong, they wouldn't be the majority. Really? I don't remember Christ ever being in the majority. Ever. How many decisions are based on what everyone else thinks is right? It's called peer pressure. The majority of Christianity would not, or would agree with Rick Warren and Joel Osteen. The majority of Christianity would never exercise church discipline or submit to biblical standards. The majority of Christianity would never sit and listen to real preaching week after week. You know, you think about that BLM. Remember the BLM protesting that was going on during COVID and all the rest of that stuff? And the newscasters would go out there. They'd be marching on Washington and all these protests would be going on. They'd go out there and interview the people and ask them, what are you out here for? What's your purpose for being out here? Man, this is a good cause. I'm with them. You know, we're marching and we're going to get what we want. And, you know, I'm with them. And for what reason? Well, you can see that we're all together. You can see that we're the majority. And you can see that we're marching. This is a good cause. They didn't even know why they were there. They didn't even know. And that is so Bible. It says in Acts 19, verse 32. Well, you're only two chapters away. You can look at it yourself. Look at Acts chapter 19. And in verse 32. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. That's exactly what's going on in our country. You know, the elections are coming up. There are people that don't even know why they'll vote for certain people. I'll just keep it at that. And, you know, it's just because that's what everyone does. You know, if I'm a liberal, I go this way. If I'm a conservative, I go this way. Folks, what is right is not always popular, and what is popular is not always right. Do you remember the story about Ahab wanting to go to war, and he asked Jehoshaphat if he would go with him? And Jehoshaphat comes over and says, yeah, I guess I'll go to war with you. Can we ask the prophets what they think? And Ahab said, yeah, I've got 400 prophets over here. All of them agree with me that we should go to war. And then Jehoshaphat, I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit laying on him or whatever, he just said, don't you have like anyone else? Maybe that's not in your cabinet. And he said, yeah, there's one guy. His name is Micaiah. But he never says anything good about me. And Jehoshaphat says, well, can we ask him all the same? Can we ask him what he thinks? And so he said, all right, we'll ask him. Micaiah, come in here. They asked Micaiah, should we go to war? Yes or no? Micaiah was being sarcastic. He goes, sure, go ahead. Go to war. Everything will be just fine. And then that's when Ahab said, see, you know he's being sarcastic. He never says anything good about me. He says, Micaiah, tell us the truth. He goes, okay, you go to war, you're going to die. You'll get defeated and you won't come back. You will die. 400 said, go. One said, don't go. Who was right? Micaiah was right. The majority is not always right, folks. Don't jump on the bandwagon just because everybody else does it. Does it line up with the lamp? Does it line up with the light? The third enemy to the Word of God. Look at Acts chapter 27. And in verse 13, And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. The third enemy, probably the most powerful one of all, is my opinion. And that's based on conditions. Oh, the wind is blowing softly? It must be God's will. You know, I've been watching my weight for years go up. And I go on the internet and I try and find the best diet for me to lose weight. So I have my choice from all the experts. I can do Atkins, keto, intermittent fasting, carnivore diet, paleo, or eating six times a day to keep the fire burning. My favorite is the chocolate diet. That's my favorite. I choose the one I want. Not the one that's best for me, it's the one I like the most. And it's my condition, my opinion, based on my conditions. Isn't it true that Christians suppose if there's an increase, in other words, the wind blew softly, that it's God's blessing? Most Bible-believing churches don't blow a soft wind. So, ours is a little bit more tornadic. Do you remember you can't just say because someone is blessed that God's in it. Remember when Abraham went down into Egypt because of the famine? He told Sarah, I want you to lie and tell him you're my sister. They grabbed onto Hagar. They took Lot with them, which he was not supposed to go. He's supposed to leave family behind. The entire time that Abraham was in Egypt, God did not speak to him one time. The only person God spoke to was Pharaoh, and he said, you touch Abraham's wife Sarah, I'll kill you. That was the only speaking. God never spoke to Abraham. But Abraham came up out of Egypt with more than he went in with more gold and cattle and all the rest. He prospered. But yet, God had nothing to do with him while he was in Egypt. So don't think that just because you got a raise on your job, which is now going to keep you out of church, that it was God's will, or that it was God's blessing. Because God can bless, and guess who else can? The devil. Didn't he say to Jesus, bow down and worship me, and all these things I will give you. He said that wasn't his to give. Yes, it was. 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's the God of this world. When Adam fell, Satan took his place. He's the God of this world. And he does have the ability to give. And that's why he can give to us. And it hurts our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hurts our testimony. Sometimes we accept the gifts that the devil has to give. And it's not for our betterment. And sometimes we suppose if there's a decrease, it's God's cursing. Didn't Job lose everything? Wasn't Joseph sold into Egypt? Wasn't Daniel thrown into a lion's den? Didn't the Bible, doesn't Paul say, I suffered the loss of all things? Yeah, God can be in it, even though you're suffering loss. If a church increases in membership, God is pleased? Really? Decreases in membership, God is displeased? Really? Doesn't the Bible say he can sometimes purge the tree that it brings forth more fruit? Yeah. Did you know that God and Satan can both bless and curse? And it's our responsibility to discern who is who. Strong meat belongeth to them who are of full age, who by reason of use, having their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We have the ability to discern if we use the lamp, if we use the light. You know, you say, if people approve of you, God must approve of you. Really? The people approved of Herod, God smote him with worms. Sodom approved so much of Lot, they made him an elder standing in the gates. Just because people approve of you doesn't mean God approves of you. And just because people don't approve of you doesn't mean God doesn't approve of you. I mean, Paul, everyone forsook Paul, right? Everyone. Matter of fact, Paul had an entire continent forsake him. All Asia has forsaken me. But it says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Yeah, just because people disapprove of you doesn't mean God disapproves of you. It's important for you to understand that. While living in New York, I remember walking outside and looking up into the sky and seeing a cloud in the shape of Tennessee, and knew that God wanted me to move there to eventually become a pastor. Do you know there's people that actually fall for that garbage? Based on what? What I experienced. What I dreamt. No. The lamp and the light. If it doesn't match up, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Now look at verse 14 with me of that same text, Acts 27. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship. And fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Excuse me, wasn't this the same group of people that supposed they had obtained their purpose? Because the soft wind blew? Now all of a sudden it's a tempestuous wind. So here it's God's will. Now all of a sudden it's not God's will? That's what happens when you base your decisions on the conditions around you. What changed their mind? A soft wind to a tempestuous wind. We need the Word of God. Now, the same thing happened with Paul in Acts 28. I'm not going to have you turn there, but in Acts 28, remember when the viper bit his hand? They called him a murderer. Then the viper bit his hand, and he should have fallen down dead, but he stood there, no problem whatsoever, not even a swelling to his hand. Now, all of a sudden, they say he's a god. Goes from being a murderer to being a god, just like that. Why? Based on what people saw. Be careful. I preached a message once entitled, Coming Apart at the Seams. Seams as in S-E-E-M-S, not S-E-A-M-S. You know, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We have to be careful at what seems to be right. We have to measure it against this book. This will tell us if it's right or if it's wrong. We don't need to seem. We just need to read and study. Personal experience cannot dictate truth. So why does it seem good today, Christian? Is it because the master says so? Is it because the majority says so? Or is it because myself says so? Now we're going to look at the fourth and the best way for you to make decisions. Acts 27, look at verse 23 with me. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Here it is right here. Even as it was told me. And point number four is the majesty's opinion, and it's based on certainty. Do you believe it just because the book says it? Or do you also need the master, the majority, and myself to agree with it? Remember that bumper sticker that they came out with years ago? God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. You can just help people out, take a black marker right through the I believe it part. God said it, that settles it. You believing it has nothing to do with it. Not at all. Do you remember the Ark of God? When David was supposed to take the Ark of God, and he got this great idea from the Philistines, that I can put this thing on a cart and push it along. And obviously we know that the ark tipped, and Uzzah put forth his hand, touched the ark, God killed him immediately. They carried the ark into the house of Obed-Edom and blessed his house because of it. And David goes back, and he's all discouraged, he's upset that Uzzah got killed. He said, what in the world did we do wrong? Who has the instruction manual on how that ark is supposed to be transported? Oh, okay. Oh, what does the light say? What does the lamp say? It says that it's supposed to be borne upon the shoulders of the Levites with staves. So he goes and gets four Levites, gets the staves, picks up the ark, and they go into the house of Obed-Edom, pick up the ark, start to carry it back to Jerusalem. They took six paces and stopped. Just wanted to make sure nobody was going to fall dead. But you know what the Bible says? That God helped them. Those big, strong Levites carrying that thing was gold, it was heavy. And all of a sudden, you know, Joe says to Frank, "Hey, Frank, you know, this is much lighter today than it used to be." I think, "Yeah, it's because I've been going to Planet Fitness. I've been working out." God's finger was right underneath there. It said, "And God helped them." Why? Because they did it according to the book. They read the instruction manual. They got it right. Yes, it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. You know, according to thy word, David is a man after God's own heart. He wrote Psalm 119, which is the longest chapter in the Bible. It's based on the Word of God. And he wrote in there, in verse 119, verse 9, verse 25, verse 28, verse 41, verse 58, verse 65, 76, 116, 154, 169, and 170, he said, according to thy word. That's what he said to God, according to thy word. God, can you do this, this, this? God, can I do this, this? According to thy word, according to thy word, according to thy word, according to thy word. To David, a man after God's own heart, the word of God was preeminent. Number one. That's what led him. That's what guided him. And in Psalm 119, verse 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me. Revival. O Lord, according unto thy word. That's why David was a man after God's own heart. How perfect is this book? Do you know how many verses are in this book? 3,102. Add up those numbers, comes to the number 7. 3-1-1-0-2. It's 7. Do you know what middle two verses are in that Bible? Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. Because there's an even number of verses, so you need two verses to be the two middle verses. Add up those numbers, 103-1-2. Comes to 7 as well. Interesting, isn't it? Then Psalm 103, verse 1. Just happens to be the 1,611th verse in the book of Psalms. 1611. Really? Yes. Interesting, isn't it? You know, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. 7 times. You needn't not worry about his book being preserved, since he's responsible for keeping it and preserving it. The Lord's name, Amen, when they call him the Amen, how many times is that in the Bible? Oh, 77. How many times is in Christ in the Bible? King James Bible, 77. How many times is Lamb, small L, in the Bible? 77. How many times is Jesus in the Bible? 980, which is 70 times 7 plus 70 times 7. The most maligned verse probably in the King James Bible from the new versions is 1 John 5:7, which attacks the deity of the Godhead. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. The Father occurs 218 times. The Word occurs 469 times. The Holy Ghost occurs 90 times. Add those all up. What do you think you get? 777. No other version is this possible. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 8:4, where the word of a king is, there is power. This book is authorized by a king. We judge on the master's capability, the majority's commonality, or my conditions. But isn't it time that all of us base all of our decisions on the King James Bible? You know, I was talking to you earlier about a diet. You know, none of those diets work. You know what works? balance. You know what works? Moderation. Moderation. All those diets are fanatical. This Bible says, let your moderation be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. This Bible says a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. This Bible says he that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Balance. That's all. A balanced diet. That's how you stay in shape. None of these... The world is crazy. And it's getting crazier. But you've got a lamp, you've got a light that never changes. It never changes. And the only time it changes is when you allow man's opinion to creep in. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. One verse and we'll close. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And in verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. More than what? More than the masters, more than the majority, more than myself. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto, Christian, ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Here's your book right here. Here's your authority. Here's your guide. Need help in your marriage? Here's your guide. Need help with your kids? Here's your guide. Need help in business? Here's your guide. Need help in finance? Here's your guide. Need help with your health? Here's your guide. Help in relationships? Here's your guide. It's a lamp. It's a light. Hold on to it. Thank God for the old paths. Read it. Give attendance unto reading and study to show thyself approved. King James Bible is created and preserved supernaturally, and I recommend trusting it over the master, the majority, and even myself. Preacher, thank you.